Welcome to the Water Babies Podcast. This week we are joined by Stephen Weimer, Joshua Weimer, and Lindsay Weimer, because we could only afford one last name. We'll be talking about Bigfoot and other things. Probably will meander and go into some really stupid things that we'll end up regretting and cringing at later on the Water Babies Podcast.
And that was by the British Lords. We are the Water Babies Podcast. This week we are joined by me, Joshua Weimer, the great and illustrious leader slash loud guy who interrupts a lot.
I think you just talk the loudest, and so we go with what you say so you don't.
After 27 years of American politics, I know that's all it takes. We're also joined by
Stephen.
And that's good enough. And
Lindsay Weimer.
Cool. And that's why I'm the leader. We are a cryptozoology slash mythology slash
paranormal
podcast, provided that a tree falls on our house.
Slash I'm still kind mythology. Of
I think I already said that.
Slash fairy tale.
You want to say cryptozoology again if you're just going through and repeating everything?
Slash ufology.
Oh, and I forgot cryptozoology.
Did we talk about Bigfoot?
Did we talk about mythology and fairy tales?
Lindsay, just do
did
your
someone
segment.
Say fairy tales?
Just do your segment.
Tonight on my segment that has no name, I will give you a disease name and you guys will guess what the disease might be.
I really thought you were going to say, I'm going to give you guys a disease. I was about to be really offended.
Have either of you heard of Alice in Wonderland syndrome?
Yes, absolutely I have.
Nope.
Okay, what is it?
Do I have to go again? Or do I have to go first, as usual?
Yes.
Alice in Wonderland disease.
Syndrome.
Oh, sorry, syndrome. I'm going to assume it has something to do with the fact that she's basically going nuts for an extended period of time. So I think it is a disease that makes you think that you're Lewis Carroll, and then you write a bunch of really good books and some really trippy poetry, and then weird wannabe goth chicks in the mid-thousands get tattoos of your sayings on their arms.
You said weird, trippy, cool poetry. The other day, my residents and I were talking about poetry, and one of them started quoting a Lewis Carroll poem, and I...
Which one?
The Jabberwocky.
"'Twas brillig in the slithy tove, beguiling
you wear the Jabberwock, my son, with jaws the bite, the claws the catch. You wear the Jubjub bird and shun the frisk.
And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes aflame came
one, two, one, two, and through his flame the Jabberwock went snickering. To my arms, my beamish boy, O fraptious day, Kalukalay.
And Gimli in the way, in his joy, where the poor grows, and the Mumrath's outgrabe."
Yes. And so I quoted the whole poem with her. Like, oh, she and I, like, quoted the whole poem together. And my nurse and CNA partner both looked at me like we were the craziest people. And it's like, it's just a poem.
Well, but if she had dementia, are you sure she was actually quoting along with you? Or was she...
She was making it up as she went along.
Right, that's where I'm going with this.
I wasn't working the Alzheimer's unit that night.
Okay.
But anyway, it was just really funny because we just quoted the whole thing together. But anyway, Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
I'm assuming it's going to be some sort of disease that makes you lose touch with reality in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, come on. That's
strangely
like,
familiar. That, you said the same thing as me, but worded it differently.
That's kind of a big cop-out, though.
Like, well, I mean, it's Alice in Wonderland. It's like, I don't know how else you're going to explain that.
Maybe it's a syndrome that makes you wear a little blue dress or
maybe
sing with a really weird breathy timbre where you're just like, "One will make you smaller, but what?"
For a second I was like, what are you talking about? But yeah.
I don't know.
Ask Alice.
Another guess would be that it makes you think you're
tall.
Falling all the time or you're growing or getting shorter. I don't know.
That's
the 100 things that happen in Alice in Wonderland probably be one of those things.
Disney makes a movie about your life. That's my third guess. Or guess.
That would be. I swear that, they that should be a phobia. Alice in Wonderland phobia.
They make Disney made Mary Poppins, right? Years ago.
Which was about me, yes.
And then Return of Mary Poppins.
That was also about me.
I forgot that they made a movie about the making of Mary Poppins. Not like a documentary. Tom Hanks played Walt Disney.
Called. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. I was like, they... And the really sad part is I probably would have gone to the theater to watch it if it wasn't.
I mean, the good thing is that they're not running out of ideas.
Right. Anyway, so Alice in Wonderland Syndrome. My source for this is Neurology Live, and the article is Alice in Wonderland Syndrome by Heidi Mowood, MD. So it is a syndrome where that is actually more common than you'd think. 20 to 30% of Americans report having had this at one point in their life, but they said that it's probably more than that, because most people wouldn't report it. But it's not a constant thing. It's just something that you feel every once in a while. And it is the feeling that you are either shrinking or growing.
Oh, okay. And so my second guess.
Your second guess, yes. And so you are smaller than everything around you or bigger than everything around you.
Hmm. You know, I'm curious. Do you know of anything that... Because there's times when, like, I'll be... just standing on a sidewalk or looking at the sky, mm-hmm. and it feels like it's zooming in towards me.
I get that sometimes, like, or where you, like, you suddenly, like, feel the ground is, like, barreling towards you even though you're not actually falling.
Yeah, or I mean, it's not
so, like, yeah, kind of like vertigo, but not
it's not really disorienting. It doesn't make me lose my balance or anything, but it's just like if I just stand there and, like, don't focus.
And then all
the ground
sudden,
just, like, starts feeling like it's coming at me. Right. Or, like, if like the sky will feel like it starts coming mm-hmm. at me.
Like it's closer than
yeah.
it was before.
Almost like I'm moving towards the ground in a constant pace, but never actually getting closer.
It kind of sounds like vertigo, but...
But it's not disorienting or anything. It's not even, like... It doesn't affect my equilibrium or anything. It just is a visual bug, almost.
I get that too, and like, oh, is this kind of chopped it up to multiple head injuries?
Well,
maybe you have that yeah. too.
Well, and I was just thinking, is that kind of like the Alice in Wonderland a little bit?
I mean, there are times, like, yeah. especially the one with the sky.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel like I'm suddenly, like, way taller than I normally yeah. am.
I have had that syndrome, though, the Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Yeah, I have.
Usually too. Happens when I'm, like, trying to go to sleep or something. I haven't had it in a long time, though, because I think last time I had it was, like, 14 or something.
Yeah, and that's what this website said, is that it's not like a constant thing. It's
I always hate it because I always have to, like, really just, like, force my mind to shut it off, because, like, it's annoying because it keeps me up. Like, when it happens, I'm just, like, sit there for an hour just, like, in a state of going, like, no, I'm not bigger, no, I'm not. Usually I feel like I'm bigger than the room or something like that, and I have to, like, get up out of bed and, like,
walk
get
around.
A drink of water and then go back to bed, and then I finally am.
Interesting.
Like, I've definitely never had it to that level. That's yeah. interesting.
It's no, pretty I've had that other thing you were talking about where you feel like something's, like, coming towards you, like the sky or the ground is coming towards you.
Yeah.
Or I've had where I look down and the ground seems, like, farther away from me than it really is or something too. So maybe that's kind of the same thing.
I wonder.
That's interesting. I'd never heard of it before today, and I was just poking around, reading different things. I was like, oh, that's really...
kind of cool to have one that I've actually personally experienced, too.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Well, I had the brain-eating zombie one.
No, you didn't.
All right, now. Steven, what was our cryptid for today?
So...
this hold music sucks.
Ooh, my mic.
All things that should have been done really, before we started.
This is an interesting segment. I like this part.
Well, I wasn't expecting suddenly to go straight from this segment
that's
into the story.
That's the way it always goes.
No, it isn't. Normally, like it's argued for like 20 minutes before we actually get to the story
part.
Okay,
I get the fact that we're somewhat civil. May have thrown you off.
It's because it's a disease we were all interested in instead of one that I was just teaching you guys about.
So for this one, I'm going to be pulling most of my stuff from Cryptid Wiki, because it pretty much...
Cryptopedia.
It's Cryptid Wiki is what it's called.
I know, I was fixing their name because their name is lame. Cryptopedia.
Because normally I'd pull a lot of stuff from everything and do write out my own stuff, but this pretty much... When I was writing, I was like, pretty much this carries everything that I need. So today we're going to be talking about the Einfield Horror. Have you guys ever heard of it? Well, I know you have. Right. Have you ever heard of it?
It sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it was. That's a lot of these, I think.
Do you guys know where Einfield is?
Is it in Illinois?
Yeah.
It's almost like we talked about this before we started.
He looked so surprised. It was funny.
The first encounter was by a guy named Henry McDaniel. Let's see, it should be a date. Oh, yeah, on April 25th, 1973, he had gotten home from, I don't know what he and his wife were doing, but they just got home and the kids came out and were telling him that there was some creature trying to get into the house by scratching at the door. And later that same night, Henry heard the same scratching. And when he looked out, when he opened the door, there was a creature with three legs. So it had two large front legs and a small back leg, and then two small arms and a tail. And it was like a grayish creature that was about 4.5 to 5 feet tall. And he said that he got a .22 pistol and a flashlight and then started shooting at it. The creature ran away, obviously.
Americans. Creature I've never seen before. I'm going to shoot at it.
Well, apparently it was a terrifying experience, so.
Well, I mean, how American is it? He got a .22 pistol. That's like almost un-American that he went for that small of a gun.
Right. Well, it is.
This guy was a commie. We need to turn him in.
The creature hissed at him and then ran away. But he was saying that the creature crossed 50 feet in a single bound. So like does a leaping run kind of thing. And it can, there's multiple people who say that it like covers like 40 to 50 feet in a single bound. And he said that he was pretty sure the first shot hit, but it didn't seem to affect the creature at all. But the interesting thing is, so he reported it to the police and they came and investigated it and they saw the scratch marks on the door and they also found tracks that the creature left behind. There was two large footprints that were almost like a dog but with six toes and a smaller one, a small third track. So it had... It just proved it had three legs. And there were some where, like, they found tracks a few times. Some were, like, it wasn't, like, uniformed either. Like, some were fresh, some were old. And that's kind of what kind of solidified that there was something in there. So the police were actually looking for the creature. And there were a few people who ended up encountering the creature. Let's see. So he was the first one. And then... Oh, there was another kid later on, is it May 6th? I forget the actual date. Anyways, there is a, and I don't want to read the whole article again. So there was another encounter that was very recently afterwards, where a kid got attacked by the same creature. Oh, yeah, no, that's right. It was 30 minutes before that.
So 30 minutes before May 6th.
So he wasn't actually the first one to encounter it. He was just the first one to, like, I don't know why they call him first. He wasn't the first one. He was among the first. So 30 minutes before that.
So he was like the first to call the cops or something?
No, because 30 minutes before that, the cops got called because the kid got attacked by the creature. And the kid was describing the exact same creature. And it was not too far away from that current incident. That's another reason why the cops were so involved in it. But yeah, so it terrorized the town for about a year or two. And people were trying to see sightings of it and stuff. The interesting thing is, though, a bunch of people started coming into town. And the sheriff did not like that. Because apparently there were a bunch of, like, hooligans in that group, too.
Did he just use the word hooligan?
Steven used the word hooligans. I don't know that the sheriff actually did that. I guess the sheriff actually said was, y'all look like you ain't from around here. And they're like, dude, you're from Illinois. You shouldn't have that type of accent. What's up with that, man? And he's like, I was dropped on my head as a child. Don't be making fun of me.
That's not okay.
John Wayne.
What?
I was embellishing your story.
Okay. The sheriff. Man, you just totally.
Youth.
Well, stop calling people hooligans. This problem.
So the sheriff had threatened Henry to throw him in jail if he kept talking about it. But of course, Henry didn't stop talking about it.
Well, I mean, is that even legal?
I know. That's kind of what I thought, Henry. But. Yeah. Seemed like pretty bad police work to me, but he was the crowd was causing quite a commotion in the town. So there was even a couple hunters that tried shooting at a little gray thing that they saw running through the woods.
Turned out to be a chihuahua, and they had to apologize.
Yeah, several people like related it to like a gray monkey. Like the hunters thought they saw a little gray monkey that was like hobbling through the woods.
Wait. How can it be a little monkey? Is it described as being like 4 or 5 feet tall?
Right.
Or 3 or 4 feet tall. These guys, I think, are just a little bit too trigger happy.
Monkeys come in a large range of sizes.
Right. And so a little monkey is like a capuchin. No, not. What am I thinking of?
Capuchin is a
small monkey. Yeah, a little monkey is a capuchin monkey, right? Those are the tiny little ones.
No, that's like a bush baby, I think is what you're describing. But a capuchin is a small monkey that's about the size of your toy poodle.
Right. I'm trying to think of the really small ones.
A bush baby?
Maybe.
Marmoset?
No, marmosets are about the same size as the poodle, aren't they?
Automatopoeia.
That's not a monkey. That's a...
Dracophylacus.
But anyway...
Dracolacan.
3 to 4 feet is a fairly large monkey.
Yeah, that's a big monkey. You're correct. I guess what I was trying to say is if they thought it was a small gray monkey and they started...
Oh, you were right. Marmoset.
Good. I feel vindicated. But if it was a... They thought they saw a small gray monkey, but what was described was a largish 3 to 4 feet tall thing. I feel like they were maybe just a little too trigger happy.
Right, I think they were just excusing shooting at something.
Right, I mean, little gray kind of looks like a monkey. It's probably a squirrel. It's probably a squirrel.
Yeah.
He said yes. You guys couldn't hear it. Yes.
There is several people that recorded it. The sound it made, like it made like a loud screeching sound. But I never found any. I never found any recordings. So.
Oh. I don't know where I get that from.
Oh, there was also a train track in the area that it apparently was like frequented a lot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then there was also there's also a news article or a newspaper that released an article on it as well. Do you want me to read the newspaper article?
Absolutely.
So this was the Weirton Daily Times. And the article reads, Henry McDaniel said he's seen it twice. A gray, hairy, three-legged monster.
Read it in the right accent.
I don't know what their accent is.
He's seen it twice.
That's not
like
it.
Like Louisiana, but like Louisiana, who's maybe spent some time in Puerto Rico.
I don't think that's how people from Illinois
say. I spent a good 3 or 4 hours in Illinois. So have I.
That's not.
And they all talk that way, didn't it?
No.
didn't they, I guess.
Didn't it?
You're really going to have to cut that part. I know we've already made fun of you for cutting parts out, but that part needs to be cut out.
Nope. Gray three-legged monster standing tall like a human being with pink reflecting eyes. Well, I forgot to mention that part. It has large pink eyes.
That's how many eyes?
Not cool.
bulging from a huge head too. The second time was Sunday morning after his, and he encountered this twice. Sunday morning after his original report on the monster had brought newsmen, police, anthropologists, experts on unidentified flying objects and the just plain curious, to the Wabash River Valley to investigate.
Wabash.
McDaniel, it's Wabash season. A disabled war veteran, said they found footprints.
I feel like that was unnecessary. Article. They told us about it, but they couldn't use their legs, so I don't know if we should believe them.
It said they found footprints covering the woodland area around his home. The tracks were 3 to 5 inches across with 6 toes and little hoof marks. He said, Ed Phillips.
How can you have both hoofs and toes?
Don't know.
It's a alien beast.
Okay.
Ed Phillips, a pet shop owner from Kokona Land.
Yep.
Came out who took around and verified McDaniel's description of the tracks. It couldn't be a hoax, Phillips said. The tracks were hidden under dense bush as well as in the open. He said plaster casts were made. McDaniel said the first time he saw the monster was about 9:30 p.m. on the night of April 25th. His family heard a scratching noise at the back door and he went to investigate. When I first saw it, I thought it was an animal. I went back inside the house and got a gun and a flashlight, he said. It was right almost about 3 feet from me. I wasn't scared.
That's a weird thing to include. It's like, I didn't wet myself at all when I saw this
thing. And I'm just going to, like, I'm going to bring up the fact again that he just thought there was, like, some animal on his land. And so he's like, I'm getting a gun. We're safe in the house.
Three-legged pig. Hairy pigs are back.
We're safe in the house, but I got to get a gun and shoot this thing.
Then I saw those pink eyes shine at me like a reflector on a car. It had pink eyes, a large head, and was a kind of dirtyish gray color. Hairy, about 4 or 5 feet tall, standing right in front of the door on three legs, just like a human being.
What?
That's new information.
That was an unexpected turn.
And he still shot at it. Like
McDaniel said he shot at the monster 4 times. I knew I hit it once, he said. The monster, he said, hissed, leaped 75 feet in 3 jumps, and disappeared down the railroad tracks near his home. Sunday morning about 3 a.m., CDT, the barking of his dogs awakened McDaniel, and he opened his door and looked out. He said he saw the same three-legged monster on the railroad track 75 feet away. I wasn't scared, he said.
Good grief. Just admit it.
I wasn't scared. Okay, I just got my gun because I felt really safe.
It's like first thing in the conversation, like nowadays, like bringing up the fact that you don't have COVID. It's like, if you do that, I'm going to suspect you have COVID.
Right.
So you start a news article 2 times with, I wasn't scared. I'm like, yeah, dude, you were crapping yourself. Did you even go out and see it?
Oh, man, he says, I'd like to have it as a pet and charge admission. It's something that's like...
Because that's how not afraid I am of it. I could totally have this thing around me and I wouldn't call perpetually.
Can I just like call out how American he is? I'm going to have it as a pet and charge admission.
I'm going to charge you admission to be my pet, though. That's what I mean by that. 75 cents per day.
It's something that's here and we've got to accept it. End article.
Wow, that's a pretty progressive for Southern Illinois.
Hold on. I shot at it, then I want to keep it as a pet and charge people to see it. But it's here and we just have to live with it.
Obviously, yes, we have to live with it, as in on his property, in a place where he can not be afraid of it and make money off of it.
Oh, wow. I want to go look at marmoset monkeys now. They're really cute.
Kind of feel like it's the wrong time to be doing that. Okay. Maybe later.
That's pretty much the end of the Einfield horror.
So,
gotcha.
Multiple people did encounter it.
It was wearing clothes, though. Human clothes. It said dressed like a human.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. Or you said it, at very least.
You need standing to go like a human.
No, in the article. You said dressed as a human.
Yeah, in the article you said dressed when you were reading the article.
It said standing as a human.
Okay, well, okay, no, I feel bad for making fun of that.
Well, I thought it was still funny. It said it was standing on three legs like a human.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, because...
I don't know what human stands on three legs, but...
Right.
Well, probably somewhat human-like.
Well, that's... So is the third leg kind of like a kickstand?
Oh, it almost sounds like it, honestly. It's like a tiny little leg.
Like, just behind it, like, so that if it falls backwards, there's, like, another leg to catch it, kind of.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
Okay. Sounds like most of everything it does is with its little arms and the big two legs.
Oh, that's right. It had T-Rex arms, too. I forgot that part.
Got little arms and a big head.
I don't think you thought this planned out.
And now time for... unpopular opinions about popular cryptids. Yay! I'm getting worse and worse at the Kermit the Frog thing.
I think you care less and less.
Yeah, there is that.
Speaking of Kermit the Frog, I took a road trip with my parents yesterday.
You are eating into my time. This better be a good story.
I had the music on.
It's not going to be a good story. I can feel it.
Rainbow Connection came on. And my parents didn't sing along with it. And I was very offended and didn't feel like they were the people that raised me.
Good use of my time. Thank you. Unpopular opinions about popular cryptids. Today, I'm taking on the entire cryptozoology community. All right, you bunch of mouth-breathing weirdos. If you don't want me to come along on your picnics, just come out and say it. When I show up, you don't have to instantly start throwing stuff in your car and saying that we're going to get rained out when it's nice and sunny out. I know what's going on. It is hurtful and rude. And when I ask you questions about like, well, do baby Bigfoots have to wear diapers and stuff like that? It's a serious question I have, and you don't need to act like I'm weird and trying to make a mockery of your guys' profession. I too am a cryptozoologist in the, totally
uneducated,
fabricated version of the word. So just let me come to the picnics. I don't eat meat, so I'll bat clean up, eat all the macaroni salad, I'll make some jokes. I'm a delight to have around. You can ask anybody, provided it's one of the two people sitting in this room with me.
Are you sure about that?
And that's my unpopular opinion about popular.
Okay, so I have three notes about that.
Three. Wow. I don't think I'd said that much.
So one, are you sure that was aimed at the entire cryptozoology community or maybe one or two people that have been being rude to you?
Okay, now you're sounding like them where they're like, oh, this is our family picnic. Stop interrupting me at every moment of my life. It's worse that you barged in last night when we were trying to eat dinner, but it's really bad that you came into our picnic today.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then two... A lot of macaroni salad has bacon in it, so you can't eat it.
Oh, that's why it's so good.
Actually, I don't understand the hype around bacon anymore. I like tried a bite of it the other day after not having it for a year. Not that great.
Boy, I thought I had unpopular opinions. What's your third thing before we get canceled for your bacon comment?
When you said that you are a delight, ask anyone, well, the two people sitting in the
room.
One
of the two people sitting in the room. Clearly it's not you. I can tell where this is going.
I don't think... Steven lives here.
Yeah, and he hasn't ran away screaming yet.
And you're my brother, so I can't really like just abandon you.
Okay. So you're saying you both like me a lot.
Yeah, I'll give you this one.
All right.
If it will make you feel better.
And that's my segment. I am beaming with joy because I just had Lindsay say on air that she can't abandon me. Are we arguing now?
Oh, no. I'm still trying to get like a grasp on this thing. So it's a human-like creature with gray fur.
T-Rex. So it's like an elephant, right? And
okay, there's... So
imagine a super ugly sock monster that's big and a
hold
really
on.
Big
I
fat
thought I actually knew
monster.
What we were talking about. Back up and explain sock monster.
Oh, just what comes to your mind.
No, it's not. It's really not.
So like a sock monkey, but in monster form?
Yeah. It's like a...
Okay.
I don't know how to...
So sock like monkey a, color.
It's a, no, it's a grayish, with T-Rex, dirty grayish color.
Yeah, that's what color sock monkeys are.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting more and more confused about this thing as we go on.
With T-Rex arms. And two
big
legs
and
then
a leg.
Kickstand leg in the back.
There's got to be a better way to describe that.
That screams and shrieks a lot.
That screams and hisses.
Yeah.
After it gets shot at. And hangs out
Dennis
on...
Dennis Rodman! Did I win? I thought we were playing 20 questions. Sorry.
Okay. And they found footprints underneath a tree.
No, all throughout the forest.
Okay.
So I'm sure there was some underneath the tree.
I would say I feel good about my chances arguing against Lindsay right now, but I have no idea what I'm arguing for.
I honestly, like, I don't know.
Okay.
It sounds so made up. The description is so weird. But what I actually do say that I don't think it's real because you said that there's recordings, but then you couldn't find the recordings. And
yeah, it was kind of like, hard.
It has nothing to do with our falling down on our ability to do research.
Well, wouldn't that be one of the first things you'd be able to find if it was on
you
the internet?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then look up Einfield Horror Shriek and you just get a whole lot of Einfield Horror documentaries or weird
right,
things.
Where they reference it but do not show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
But it was the 70s, so it's not like everyone had cell phones with them.
I'm going to say it's real because it is a town-wide thing. It's something like this does not materialize out of nowhere. I know I've used this argument before, but it's because I truly believe it. There's a lot of people who had the same description of the monster.
So what do you think it was?
That weren't related to and
right,
at the same
exactly.
time.
And it was like over a period of time that was feasible of that a animal would be hanging around this town. So whether it was a animal that was maybe disformed and that's what they're seeing, or maybe it was, you know, an alien creature or even, you know, just a cryptid. I think that it was they did see something and it might still be out there. Waiting to come
when
get
was
us.
The last sighting of it?
Yesterday.
I
bought coffee
see.
From it. Oh, good. We got to look for more dates. Was it May 6th?
I'm not sure. It just said that they had like...
Over a couple of years.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, like it was actually like... It wasn't a sustained thing.
It also wasn't the 70s. It was the 40s.
Right. They saw it in the 40s, but then they also, the first time they saw it was in the 40s in further south in
Illinois. Oh, yeah.
Illinois,
and then, but then it was in the 70s, yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
One of the things that I found super interesting about this when we were doing the research is the fact that it took place in, it was called the Devil's Kitchen. When we were doing the research, because I was interested by that, I dived deeper into what the Devil's Kitchen exactly was. And it turns out it is actually a fairly common name in America, where settlers, when they would go to a place where lots of ooky spooky stuff happened, they would give it some sort of name to basically warn other settlers. So Devil's Kitchen was super, super common name to give an area to basically warn other areas that weird stuff is happening there. In this case, in this area, where it was the Devil's Kitchen in southern Illinois, they actually, in the early days, like during the Louisiana Purchase, pretty much when people were starting to push further west, they were having lots of problems with being attacked by spirits and things like that, where they basically considered that land uninhabited and they attributed it to witch doctors, Native American witch doctors. So The area actually has a long history of paranormal activity.
That's interesting.
And I think I'm not beyond believing that maybe it is part of that.
It does sound more paranormal than... anything. It sounds very, except for that doesn't, I keep coming back to you, if I was a spirit or demon trying to like,
yeah, I keep coming back to you being a spirit or a demon too.
If I was trying to haunt someone and scare them, I don't think I would take that form. I think I'd take a form of like the Slender Man or, you know, the tall, scary, looming. But
I don't think that the shape really matters. Anything that is unknown and
is scary.
Even a little bit out of the ordinary. If you see something, even just a glimpse of what you might think might be there in your day, like say you see a person who might be missing an ear, for example, you're going to be a little bit disquieted. Now, that has an actual explanation to it where, you know, somebody had their ear amputated or something like that. But it doesn't matter. You're going to be taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see something that is like a ape with a third leg and this big, ugly face.
With T-Rex arms.
Yeah, with T-Rex arms. That's going to be really freaky. I don't think that you need to go to like full-blown, or you don't need to go to Slender Man to make it freakier.
Okay.
I mean,
fair enough.
And
yeah.
Like for everybody's psychology, it's going to be... Yeah, pink eyes is freaky. I don't think I've ever heard explanation or a description of pink eyes in any other beast.
Yeah, same.
Albino bunnies.
They're red, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're more red.
Okay, good.
With the eye roll, they're more red. Obviously. Like,
no, I mean, don't some rabbits have pink eyes?
Maybe, or maybe it's like you're thinking of pink eye like junctivitis.
Oh my gosh.
Is that what they mean? Do this crypt beast have pink eye?
Right.
They're like, we need to get this thing before it spreads to our children.
Did I tell you about the only time I ever had pink eye? I was an adult and I had to call in sick for it because it was so bad. I couldn't, like, my eyes were almost swollen shut and I had to call in sick. And it was like the most humiliating phone call because it's like, hey, I'm not in a kindergarten, but I can't come in today because.
I got doo-doo eye.
Yeah.
Good stories. So, okay, I've given some explanations as to why I think it's real. Why do you think it's fake?
Because it's such a weird description of the beast with T-Rex arms. It just sounds like they took different parts of animals and like maybe read Winnie the Pooh and gave it a tiger tail.
So you're also saying that the platypus is fake?
Have you ever seen a platypus?
Yes.
In real life?
I have one in my room.
Perry?
No, I actually stole it from Australia. They're currently looking for me. Shh, it's a good thing no one listens to this podcast.
And.
And yeah.
Yeah, so I'm right. Okay. if it was real, don't you think we would have seen it like other places? Besides just this one town.
I was actually about to mention something on that too.
Okay.
I always love how you save a bombshell until we're right? The middle of
and he usually
and, like, and here's why you both are idiots.
Okay. No, he usually uses it against me.
No, it's usually against both of us. Usually it's like I actually know what it is, but
in 1941 and 42, in a small village of Mount Vernon, which is less than 40 miles away, there's people that were encountering a creature that was described very similarly in that it almost like resembled a baboon and was like small and grayish. And when it would like move around by leaping like 20 to 40 feet. And they called it the Mount Vernon creature. For a long time, though, it was more likened to whatever is called the devil monkey. I don't know what that is, but
worst hardcore band ever.
Yeah, but it sounded, a lot of people also relate it to the Enfield monster, saying it could be the same thing just 30 years earlier.
Is it also in the same area? Like,
yeah, less than 40 miles away.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, there was like, that was the other crazy thing is like when we were doing research for it, just like how many cryptids there were in southern Chicago. Was pretty wild.
Mothman.
Yeah.
Mothman has been
all throughout Illinois. It's like, did you know that, it was in April, or was in 2017, that Illinois, was it Illinois? Here, hold on. You guys keep talking. Let me find my notes.
No, I think that we have already said too much. We should perhaps just be silent so you can edit it out.
I think I deleted my notes. That's annoying. That's why I've been so struggling. Where's my dang notes? Well, I think it was in 2017 that Illinois was...
You think it's Illinois?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in Illinois. And I'm pretty sure it was in 2017 that they had the second most Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah, I believe you were correct.
Yeah. And they've had tons of cryptids all throughout Illinois for a long time too. Like we couldn't cover all the cryptids that Illinois has in a podcast.
Well, just kind of Illinois is one of the corn states, right?
I mean, probably in parts of it. It's kind of a weird transitional state.
Yeah, but like a lot of the Midwest states have cryptids, a lot of cryptids I've noticed, but yeah, especially Illinois.
When you're so bored, you have to come up with something.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I think it like kind of that driving through those places start to play tricks on your mind, because I know when I was driving through, it was just, I thought driving through Kansas was boring.
It is. Just.
It is. But by the time I was out, like when we got to Kentucky or whatever, I never thought I'd be happy to see Kentucky, but I was just so happy to be out of cornfields. My speedometer was broken and I kept passing cars and then being like, no, you gotta slow down. Pass the cars. No, you gotta slow down. There's like Amish people on the road. You can't be going this fast. Pass another car. Like, it was just, I just wanted to get out of those states so bad.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's like nothing. Oh, mass amounts of murder. Nothing.
So I could understand why you would start to see
I think, you know, that's a good explanation for some of them, where it is, you know, the horizon effect, where your mind kind of plays tricks on you. But this feels like way more than that. Like, usually the horizon effect takes place, you know, at dusk when people are out on a ridge or something like that. And it's like
one person by themselves.
Right, right. So I still stand by the fact that I think this was actually something.
But where did it go?
It died. It went back to the mothership.
I feel like it was probably just some disformed creature or like disformed regular animal.
Okay, but even if it was a monkey...
Well, no, I don't think it'd be a monkey, but like, and if it was that disformed, like, I don't imagine it would live for very long either, because it was a pretty short period of time that people were seeing it.
I'd even go along with that. I
could go along with that for sure.
The only thing that's holding me back from going with that 100% is the fact that it did leaps for so long. That's a very common story. It's like, that is not anything of this world.
Yeah.
That is something that is either... You know,
and then it's tied to the Devil's Kitchen, because weren't you looking into like how it was like a Native American cursed land or something like that?
Yeah,
and that's where
like creatures would come out of. I'm going to say this before Steven can say
it. Even like it might be a hell mouth in the area. Are you going to say skinwalkers?
Yeah, because before Steven can.
Okay.
Skinwalker.
This is obviously a skinwalker. This is like a novice skinwalker's impersonation of a Bigfoot. Didn't mean to even have the third leg. Wasn't good enough to have full red eyes, so it just had pink eyes.
He got kicked from the cult because just a terrible at his job.
All the senior skinwalkers are just like, dude, I told you it was a mistake letting him in.
Sorry, quick question. Did it actually hurt anyone, or did it just scare everyone?
The kid that it attacked.
It actually attacked him, not just chased him.
Yeah, I did find that. It says 30 minutes earlier than the first encounter that the police went to, the creature had ripped at the child's clothes with the claws on its arms, while the talons on the toes had shredded the kid's shoes.
Wow.
However, the police couldn't find any trace of the entity, so things cooled down for a while. But then at 3 a.m., like the next morning, Henry encountered it again. And
wow, it does happen, though.
Yep.
I think it'd be creepy just hearing scratching noises and opening and seeing some crazy creature. Oh, seriously.
One time I got home from work at like midnight, and I kept hearing scratching noises at my door. And it turns out to be a Yorkie when I finally like worked up the courage to open the door. But like for 20...
And I wasn't scared at all.
No, I was freaked out. But... To be fair, I was freaked out because I watched too much true crime stuff, not because it was actually scary, but...
So you weren't freaked out, you just freaked yourself out.
Exactly, but I kept hearing the scratching at the door for 20 minutes before I finally opened the door, and it did freak me out, and then it was my next door neighbor's Yorkie had gotten out somehow and came over to my house at midnight.
I
got
this thing, like anytime I hear anything outside, like it sounds like they're in my front yard or out my backyard or something like that, I always fling open the door, like barge out with
such impunity. I've seen you do that.
Like, if ever one day I do actually see anything out there, I don't know how I'd handle it, but I'm sure confident going up to the door.
Well, it was like the weirdest thing because...
That was the day cryptids ran from you.
Bigfoot's telling their kids about the abominable Josh man.
You've probably
just comes running out the door.
You've probably almost caught a cryptid so many times that you make so much noise going down to it.
I do need to work on my stealth. A plus on attack.
But yeah, so the neighbor had just moved in, so I didn't know the dog or anything. And so it ran in, went and got a drink out of my dog's water bowl, and then went and laid in her bed and went to sleep. And I'm like, what? I don't know whose dog this is or what to do with it. I guess it lives here now. And then I posted a picture of it on Facebook, and my mom was like, oh, that's our neighbor's dog.
All right, so it's agreed on. The Einfield Horror was a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I said.
Thank you for joining us on the Water Babies podcast. are we done?
Yeah. Okay. We're like 50 minutes in. So.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, dang. How did we talk that long?
I know. I was thinking the same. It's like, this seemed like a short episode, but it is not.
After we cut out all those troublesome parts, it'll be 30 seconds.
I think we did pretty good. We're being
We're still recording, Lindsay. You can't just move the mic away from your face.
We're still recording?
Yes, I have signed us out.
You said thanks for listening to the Water Babies podcast.
And then I stopped myself and I said, can I sign us out? I was waiting for approval. And you flung the mic away from your face and started doing a commentary on what we just did.
That's what we usually do.
Usually we ask for permission and just cut it.
It's like, can we sign out?
No.
Done deal.
Usually we
no confirmation needed.
Usually you don't even ask Steven. You're just like, I'm done. And right. Like, sign out.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on the Water Babies podcast. I don't know what to say. This one was weird. Send us pictures of the Einfield Horror. waterbabiespod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at waterbabiespodcast. Do something, man. I'm getting bored watching our social media. Basically, all I'm doing is getting scammers and weird trolls. Stay safe, America. Luxembourg, you owe me money. You know what it's for. Pay it back. Bye-bye.